Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And for anyone looking for a new church home or just one to visit, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. Join us on any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. And the scripture selected for this morning's opening comes from Psalm 24, taken from the King James Bible of 1611, as is directed by the Methodist Book of Worship for today. A Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his holy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, ye gates, and be lifted up to everlasting doors, and the King of all glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, ye gates, lift even them up to everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of hosts, there the King of glory. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oops. Thank you, sir.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much for this blessed day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for that touch that you gave us this morning, Lord, to wake us up, to let us know that you've given us another day to get things right. I ask that you would look upon this congregation this morning and have with mercy, Lord, and help us, Lord, to worship today in the right way, in spirit and truth. Help us not to be concerned about other things, but to be concerned about you. Bless those that are here, Lord. Bless those that wanted to come and couldn't because of illness or other reasons. We thank you so much for Alamo. We thank you for your leading. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. And we're looking for you, Lord, to take us all the way home. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand for our opening hymn, How Firm a Foundation?
How firm a foundation is, saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you forever?
seated.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. The announcements for today are three birthdays that we have this week. The first one is Jessica Rigsby on the 9th, Peggy Gonzalez on the 11th, and then last one is on the 12th, which is Stephen Grazulis. So let us sing happy birthday to these people. On the count of three, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Peggy, do you want to give an update on yesterday?
Not too often we get a chance to fellowship together, whether men or women, outside of Sunday morning at church. And I really appreciate having 20 ladies yesterday at the day retreat. And it was wonderful. Good fellowship, good time in the Word. And thank you for being part of Alamo Family.
Praise the Lord. Does anybody else have an announcement to make? If not, Harriet?
Good morning. First, some administrative announcements, okay? Because I didn't get to talk to some of you that are actually lighting candles up here, so this is a procedure, okay? The procedure. You're going to enter the center of the altar, and you will pick up a match. In front of you finishes up, you can start standing up. So this doesn't take... Cowboys are not playing today, so we can actually be here all day, right? Just saying. All right, we'll get started. Historically, the church has confessed a belief in the communion of the saints, which includes not only all living believers, but also those who have gone before us. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we experience the communion of the saints, feasting with believers past, present, and future. The author of Hebrews 12 reminds us that these saints are a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us and cheering us on. 1,000 days are but a moment to God. All flesh is grass and withers away. Still we treasure our days with those whom we love and reluctantly give them back to God. On this day, we thank God for the saints in our lives. In the beginning, God called the world into being, saying, "Let there be light." In the fullness of time, Jesus came from God to us, saying, "I am the light of the world." In our everyday life, we see the work of the saints, the ones in whom God's light shines. So let us give thanks to the saints this day. Gary Rowe, great grief specialist and an author of 20 books on the subject, gives the following advice. We speak their names. Names are powerful. Just a few letters can mean so much. Say their name out loud. See their face. Picture their smile. Speak their name. Honor the life they lived. We tell their stories. We tell the stories, precious memories no one and nothing can take from us. We might cry, smile, laugh, perhaps sob or go silent, but we tell the stories. And as we tell the stories, we see them, we remember. Telling their story is part of loving them and part of taking our own broken hearts seriously. We live their legacy. What was important to them? What was their life about? Don't be fooled, for in many ways, they are not gone. They are part of you. Their interactions with you, influence upon you, and their love for you deeply affected you and contributed to who you are and have become. They may not be here physically, but they are far from gone. Let something that was important to them be important to you. Continue the cause. Serve in their stead. Give their legacy life. We honor them on special days. Our calendars are littered with special times, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmases, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and many more. Don't simply dread these times and let them hijack you. Make a simple plan. Honor them on special days. We love them by taking care of ourselves. We do this because we love them. We love them still. Grief is draining and demanding. Honor them by taking care of yourself. Today on All Saints Sunday, or All Souls Day, we publicly remember and honor those who have passed away and speak their name. First name, Esther Flores. You can go back whichever way is convenient to you. You want to do them all? Okay. All right. They have several, so they've... Rudy Flores. Okay. Charlie Cortinas. Elizabeth Iser. Can we turn off that fan? We're struggling here. Thank you. And the last one was Charlie Cortinas. Give me two more times, please. Thank you. Janice Russell. Donald Tondre. Ruth Weimar. John Warren. Pastor George Bucci. Gary Lynn Morris. This is Chris Lohr's husband. Seven. Pastor George Chambers. Irma Perryman. Sherry Francis. Sherry Francis. Don Davenport. Neil Reynolds. Carolyn Botkins. Melody Gully. Trinidad Maganata.
Trinidad Maganata.
Marshall Gundershaw. James Houlihan. Nathan Kozar. 17, he passed away this Thursday. These are the people that I have the names for 2021 and 2022. Does anyone have anyone that should have been on the list that didn't contact me? Let me know. We have a few candles left. We'll start with recognizing people before 2021. Number the section is 1, close to the wall, 2, 3, and 4. We'll start with number 1. If you have someone you'd like to mention, Frank, you're going to do the... Got it. Just stand up, everybody in section 1 that has someone they want to say. Just go ahead and stand up, and he'll bring the mic to you. Can you say the name, please? Stand up.
Shaw.
Say again, please. I didn't hear that.
Kate Shaw.
Kate Shaw. Okay. Anyone else in section 1? Okay.
Robert Zulis.
Okay. Section 2, please stand.
Sharon West.
Is my mom?
2005. Okay. Harry West, who was a Methodist minister in 2017.
Mark McDuffie, 2022.
Betty Sue Hyde, September. And James Dixon.
Section 3.
Hope Clark. Galen Clark. Pete Rayburn. Naomi Napier. Rommel Rayburn.
Tina Basil, 2001. Robert Clem Sr., 2015. Amelia Clem, 2016.
Frank, behind you. Section 4.
My son, Jonathan Vargas, 2011. My wife, Sarah Vargas, 2016.
Billy Hollins, 2010. My mother, Anna Mary Byram, 2015.
Section 4.
My mom, B. Randis, 2015.
Thompson, 2015.
My dear sweet grandbaby, named Alexander Hollins, 2016.
Anyone else? Frank, behind me.
My daddy, John Clark Jr., my mama, Billy Ruth Clark, 1996 and 2009.
My classmates from the DeKalb High School class of 1988 that passed this last year have Marlena Westerman, Nora Mangan, Diane Keating, Glenda Bobo, and more.
Hodges L. Robinson, my dad, 1996.
My brother, Michael Lennon. My grandmother, Irene Riddiman. My grandfather, Roman Riddiman.
My dad, Ralph Williamson, which some of you knew. Anyone else?
My mom, Barbara Austin, June 15, 2011. My brother, Tommy, July 17, 2013. And a friend of mine that I went to school with, Rodney Ray Patterson, and April 4, 2018.
My sister Starline Nunley, 2012.
A couple whom I met through the visitation program, Douglas and Cynthia Arpin, both within a week at the beginning of
2022. Yes. Was there another one? Yes.
San Diego.
We miss anybody? The children of Uvalde.
Oh, okay. Amen.
Anyone else? Sandra? Your dad. So, again, today is All Saints Day. We publicly remember those and honor those that we have lost. Remember to speak their name, tell their stories, live their legacy, honor them, and love them, and love yourself.
If you could, at this time, without moving around, could you touch and hold on to someone real quick while we pray, please? Just gently touch someone and just hold on. You can. We give thanks to you this morning. Oh, God, you're so good to us. We know that our loved ones are gone. But we thank you for them. We thank you for their lives, and we thank you for their influence that they had over us in this church. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would comfort those that may be hurting this morning. Perhaps old memories have come up, and we just ask, Lord, that you would comfort, give them peace. And we thank you, Jesus, because you said, Lord, that sometimes we have to grieve, but we don't want to grieve long. We want to move on and serve you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and my heart focused on the truth of your word. Thank you that I am no longer under the curse of the law of sin and death, but have been set free to follow the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. As I look to him, I pray that I may become increasingly like him and that I may not only hear your truth, but act on it in the word and in deed. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We come to the part now where we return but a small portion of the bounty that God has given to each of us. I ask that you please bow with me. Father God, we come humbly seeking. We come remembering that those that have gone before us have left us with training, with knowledge. We know that all that we have is but a mere gift from your hand. We ask, Lord, that as we give our tithes and our offerings, that you take them, use them for your glory here on earth. In Christ's name, amen.
Praise God who reigns on high, the Lord whom we adore, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Today's scripture lesson, James 1, 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was great. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wise teachings of James. I realize how important it is to not only have a genuine faith by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, but to be a fruitful Christian in word and in deed. Keep me from worldly ways and from slipping back into the carnality of fleshly living, but may I grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as I abide in him. May I bring forth much fruit to your praise and glory. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Lord, we come seeking. Heavenly Father, we are your children, but we are imperfect. We ask, Lord, that now you open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as Pastor Ted delivers the message that your Spirit has given to him, help us to not only hear, but to understand and to take your message to our hearts. And let us not keep that message, but share it with the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Let the church say amen. 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 God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. He is good.
All the time.
Thank you, Lord. I want you to be mindful of the fact that Jesus loves you very much. And in spite of what you may be going through or in spite of what you may be feeling right now, he still loves you. And I myself can attest that I used to think my dear old dad was the meanest man in the world. He'd always have us doing all kind of stuff, me and my sisters. But I tell you what, folks, when they're gone and you miss them a lot, amen?
Amen?
You miss them. James, the book of James. We're going to continue our journey through the book of James this morning. We're going to be starting with talking about something that Pastor James telling his congregation and us too. And he talks about listening and doing. So and if you remember last week, we talked about testing and persevering. So from the very start, James is encouraging us to rejoice in the midst of our trials and suffering. So in that first half of chapter 1, we learned that adversity calls us to go higher, to be greater, and to trust deeper. But this week, we'll be finishing up chapter 1 as James encourages his readers to be both hearers and doers of the word. Now, I get at home, I always get that. Did you hear me? Yes, hon, I heard you. I heard you loud and clear. Of course, I didn't do what she told me to do. So I have sometimes, what do we call that? Selective hearing. Amen. We hear what we want to hear, and what we don't want, we tune it out. But the Lord wants us to be doers of his word and not just hearers. You see, the main point here is that it's one thing just to listen and to receive the word, but it's a whole nother thing to act upon it. So, and James, he doesn't have much patience for those who only listen and never act. In fact, the whole theme of this particular book is about listening and doing. So it's important to remember for us over the next few weeks that James was a good pastor and he cared deeply for his church. And he may sound a little harsh at times, but sometimes you got to be harsh. Amen. With our children, we want to shower them with love, but sometimes we have to, what they call tough love. Amen. That way they can understand what we're talking about. Now, I grew up with a lot of tough love, if you will. The truth was that they simply didn't have the time a luxury to engage in a lukewarm faith in those days. You see, they were under a lot of pressure. They were under persecution. In many cases, for those folks back then, it was a choice of life and death. Life and death of when they served the Lord. So the question for us today is, would we be more inclined to act on the teachings of Jesus if our lives were on the line? Or would any type of persecution motivate our faith? Those are good questions to think about there. So, in Matthew, you may have heard this parable before. It talks about the two sons in Matthew 21, 28 through 32. I'd like to read that to you here for a minute, if you would bear with me. Matthew 21. Let me read that, and we'll figure out. We'll see what the Lord has for us here. 21 and it's verses 28 through 32. Listen for God's word. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." And the son said, "I will not," he answered. But he later changed his mind and he went. And then the father, he went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will go, sir." But he didn't go. The first, and Jesus asked him this question, which of the two? Which of the two did what his father wanted? And they said, the first. And this is where Jesus really kind of, he hit them pretty hard. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So you see, the Lord is very big on not just being listeners, but he wants us to be doers of his word. He's making a very powerful point about listening and doers. Jesus says that even the tax collectors and prostitutes, they'll get into heaven ahead of all the priests and the Pharisees. Because why? They listened. And they didn't just listen. They responded to the message of John the Baptist. So I don't know about you, but this in parable invites me to think long and hard about which one of these sons I most resemble in the parable. Am I just listening to the words of Jesus? Am I just hearing his voice? A voice through the encouragement of the Bible. But does this listening mean that there's no response? We hear, but we don't respond. So here we begin. James is addressing his hearers as beloved brothers, brothers and sisters, and say it another way, the church family that I love. And like I've said before, he was a good pastor. He was deeply cared for his congregation. In fact, he cared enough to share with them the blunt truths that followed throughout the rest of his letter. And beginning with the encouragement, I love this, he said to be quick to listen. You know what, folks? If we did a whole lot more listening and a lot less more speaking, I think we'd all be better off. Amen? Sometimes if we would just take the time to listen to what the other person or persons are saying before we jump out and we start speaking. The old folks used to say, you better be careful what you say. You're going to write a check that you're behind can't catch. Can't cash, I'm sorry. Be careful what you say. It said be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I tell you what, folks, it's easy. Some of us, you can pull our string and boy, we'll go off pretty easy. But James is telling us to be slow to get angry. And why? Because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When you get mad at that person at HEB or something because they cut you off or got that last turkey or whatever, and you claim to be a Christian, folks are going to be watching you, amen? What kind of, you go off and you get mad? So be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. And he goes on to say, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. God's word, folks, is able to save your souls. He says, and James is telling us here to put aside all that mess, wickedness, none of which will take one into the kingdom of heaven. But instead, he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, I'm going to get in your business for a minute, but that's all right. I'm going to get in your business. Some of us are doing things that we shouldn't do. Some of us are going places that we shouldn't go. But the Lord loves us. But he's encouraging us to put that mess behind us. I used to, when I was in the world, I used to like to go out to the clubs and kind of hang out in the dark. And I always thought, why are the clubs so dark? Why are they so dark in there? You know why they're in the dark, folks? Because darkness, evil, likes to stay in the dark. Amen? And plus, you can't see that. Maybe that person that you may be ducking won't be able to see you over in that dark corner with that other person that you ain't got no business with. So you stay out of the dark and stay in the light. He says, put away all this filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive God's word. You see, the word of God is implanted in us and is at work in us, and it abides in us. And James says in 1:21, it can save us. So God's word is very, very, very important. We must receive God's word into our lives, and we must learn how to get rid of everything else, every hindrance that entangles us, every deception that looks to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. But we can't just receive God's word. We've got to do something else. We are encouraged to act upon God's word. So the next line it says from James' passage is one that a whole lot of commentators and theologians, they believe to be the very central message of this letter, and I tend to agree with them. Be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because when you only hear and you don't do, you fool yourselves. You deceive yourself. I can tell you something, folks. You can fool me, and you can fool everybody else around you. You can be the pious person in the world, but you'll never be able to fool the Heavenly Father. Amen? Jesus sees everything that we do. He sees every little trick, every little device, every little situation we try to talk our way out of. Every little lie he sees, he sees and watching us. So don't be deceived. God knows what you're doing. And you certainly don't deceive yourself. Can you imagine it says a football player caught a perfectly thrown ball, but he just stood there and looked at it. Wow, I can think of a team that does that. Or if there's a doctor that delivers a perfectly healthy baby, only to have the parent just sit there and stare at the baby for the rest of his life. Now, those are kind of odd examples, and we it's hard to imagine for us that those are happening. But James is trying to make a point, and he tells us in these next two verses to simply receive the word, the message, the teaching, the encouragement, the sermon, the devotional isn't God's best for you. His best is found in what? In the response to his word. What you do with his word. Listen to what Jesus said at the Sermon on the Mount. He said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. Believers, we are called to be people of action. Right here at this corner, at 4071 North Porter Road, we are to be a lighthouse to folks. And I can tell you, folks, there's folks out there that need to be helped. There's folks out there that need to be helped. And I believe it is our responsibility. It is our, if you want to say job or whatever, we should try our best to help folks, to show them the way to the Lord. and to help them with food and clothing if we have the means to do that, or at least show them where they can get these things. So I don't want you to just be hearers. I want you to be doers. Well, you say, preacher, how can I be a doer? Well, the Lord says pray, then you ought to pray. The Lord says love one another, then you should love one another. The Lord says look out for one another. We ought to look out for one another. The best thing that believers, a church of Jesus Christ, can do is love one another. Because when we love one another, the world sees that. They say, hey, look how they love each other. Look how they love on each other. Look how they look out for each other. I want to know what they got. But if they see us fussing and fighting, what have they got to go through? What that kills off our witness. So here's some practical instructions that comes from verse 26 and 27. It says, it talks about someone who's religious. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and don't do nothing about his tongue, or don't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. Oh, you can talk a good game, folks, but your action tells something totally different. You know, and there's an old saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never hurt, but I tend to disagree with that. Words can hurt and cut deep, and they can last, the pain can last a long time. Be careful. Hold your tongue. Hold your tongue. And he says, if you really want to know what good religion is, what a religious person is, he says this: if you don't want to have a worthless religion, but you want to appear an undefiled one, this is what he says: visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. And then he says, keep yourself unstained or spotless from the world. Now that's putting Christ to action. That's being a person of action and not of just meaningless talk. And another way to say today would be this: stop talking about all the good you're going to do for others and start doing good for others. I quit doing what do you call those things at New Year's Eve? Resolution. Because all I found out was doing was just lying to God and lying to myself. I stopped doing those. Do what you're going to say you're going to do. Just do it. Just do it. You know, don't look for any type of pat on the back. Do what you say you're going to do. If you said you're going to go visit that person, then go visit that person. You know, so this could be a pretty tough passage of scripture to follow, this book. But we need to stop and consider what things we are actually doing in response to hearing God's word. Ask yourself this question: do my words align with the Christian witness I profess? Am I letting my anger turn into sin? And that can happen very easily. I mean, some of us have experienced that. You get mad and you'll say some things that you'll regret maybe for the rest of your life. What have I done lately in response to my faith? And this is my favorite one: do I talk more than I act? So these are some questions that come across my mind, and I believe you probably got some of your own. But in the midst of the conviction that comes from a passage like this, it's important to remember the heart behind it all, which is the very heart of God. The very same God who is compassionate, loving, and sent his only, one and only Son to redeem mankind. This same God wants us to be realistic about our faith and to think clearly about the things that may be hindering us from experiencing our best in him. So, if there's anything holding you back from action today, anything holding you back from all those words that you've spoken to keep you from keeping your promises, would you consider letting it go? Would you commit to praying this week that God would give you the courage to go, as the Great Commission says, and to respond in righteousness to the goodness of the gospel message? Let us pray together. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we ask, Lord, that you would control our tongues, control our anger, And help us, Lord, to be good listeners. And help us, Lord, to not just to be listeners, to be doers of the word. And we thank you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to give the invitation this morning, I want to remind you of some things, to tell you that if things are not right between you and the Lord, you ought to get them right. Amen. I forgot to mention this, and I will say in our very hometown in Powderly, Texas, this is where my wife grew up. The little church that I was called to preach in, we looked yesterday, and that little church is totally destroyed. Neighbor's home totally destroyed by a massive tornado that came through Powderly, Texas. Some of those folks thought everything was all right. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. You don't know what's coming next. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying be ready. Be ready. Okay? Because I don't know and you don't know what's coming next. So if things are not right between you and the Lord, the altar is open for anyone that wishes to come. And I don't want you to be worried about who sees you or what they're going to think. The only one that you got to be concerned about is Jesus. Amen? That's the only one you got to be concerned about. The altar is open for salvation. It's open for prayer. It's open for healing. If you want to come up and be anointed, we'll do that this morning also. But I want you to be mindful that Jesus loves you and he wants his best for you. Amen? Amen. The question we have to be reminded of is this. What are we going to do for Jesus? The altar is open for anyone that wishes to come.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? Hymn of promise.
In the balm there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a stream that waits to be unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past become the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubts there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see.
Amen. You may be seated. Remember, dear ones, Jesus loves you very, very much. God bless you this morning.
Good morning. Let's continue to keep all of our homebound members in our thoughts and prayers, along with anyone else that just anyone that's homebound and can't come to their particular church, just keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Continue to keep our first responders, hospital staff, teachers, in our thoughts and prayers. And whenever you're out, be sure and don't forget to say thank you to someone, especially if they help you and stick out a hand, an offering hand. Continue to pray for our country, our community, the entire world. We have son Richard tore his Achilles on right leg, might need surgery. A prayer request from Gwen. She has a, Lord, hear our prayers. She also has a celebration of life. Mike's brother-in-law is doing well. Celebrate Peggy and Jan for yesterday's women's retreat. Hallelujah. And from Ann Hollins. Prayers of comfort and healing for Uncle Luther Clay. Carrie, apologize, Ann. Had a stroke after surgery with 10 days of therapy. Lord, hear our prayers. This is from Gene and Elaine. Michelle Scanlon, relative of Gene and Elaine, is recovering from recent surgery. Had to be rehospitalized due to complications. Well, hope they get better. Lord, hear our prayers. From Mary Lou and Patricia. If anybody doesn't know, those are Ann's daughters. Prayer request for the family and friends of Alice Lubiansky. Alice passed away at 8:16 Saturday, yesterday, 8:16 last night. A special thank you to her five children who took excellent care of their mother. Lord, hear our prayers and prayers of condolences for the Lubiansky family. And Sandra Christensen is asking prayers for her mother. She's just asking for prayers for her. So, Lord, hear our prayers, Sandra, for your mom, Nancy. Homer is asking prayers for his Via Trans driver, Pam Williams, and her family for comfort and healing. Lord, hear our prayers. And want to continue keeping, you know, Sandy Bundick's grandson, Patrick, Stephen and friend Nikitha Thomas, Gerda Haters, her continued prayers for her sister, Emma Gard, Jean Bixler's friend Cindy and Conrad Murray, and Stella and Delbert Saunders, Connie Jackson's sister Juanita Fazer, for Clark Hood, Joni Peterson's family friend, and continued prayers of uplifting and support for Keith and Dixie's great-granddaughter Natalie. Lord, hear our prayers. For Ted and Tessie Robinson, for Bonnie and her family. And it's so great to see Alice Tyler here after her surgery. She's wonderful to walk in and see you, Alice. So thanks be to God that you're recovering. For Sandra Boykins, Janice Walker and James Murphy, for Donna Anderson, for Virginia Molinoff and her family, for Barbara Whitney, and Pastor and I went over there Thursday and you know, prayer time with Jim and their children. So let God hold you, Barbara. For Lance Shaw, Norma Glenn and her family, Jim and Linda McMillan, Kathy Bedell, for Vicki Bowerman, and I know Frank sent out an email yesterday about Vicki, so and keep her in our thoughts and prayers. Esther Berryman and Laura Dixon. And Sonny is asking prayers of support and comfort. She's going to have some back surgery tomorrow. So, Sonny, we'll be thinking of you tomorrow and pray everything goes well. Continue to give thanks for everyone that goes out and does God's work, spreads His word. Let Him guide us and continue to lift up and watch over our church, God. Lord, hear our prayers. And one more, I've got to thank you. I also want to give a special thanks, and they know why, but for Karen and Dougie. It's great to know the world is full of such generous people like you. Ted and I would like to thank you all for the cards and gifts we received the month of October. May God continue to bless Alamo United Methodist Church as we move forward together. Thank you, Ted and Tessie. Beautiful card, and we're the ones that owe you thanks for leading us, guiding us, and supporting us. So actually, we thank each and every one, because without all of us together and the Lord above, none of us would be here to do anything. So
thank you, John. Oh, Lord, you showed yourself to us today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We ask for so much, but we just want to say right now, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us one more chance that we certainly didn't deserve. And Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, we ask that you would, oh, Lord, just guide and direct us and help us, Lord, to act on our faith and not just be those that just talk about a good thing. And Lord, we look for your leading. We look for your grace. We look for your comfort. We look for your healing, Lord. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus. And we ask this in his blessed name. Amen and amen. Yes.
Actually, Alice and she like, there's a few that already know. I didn't want to mention, but Alice would like for prayers of support. She has been diagnosed with leukemia. So.
Amen. Thank you, John. Lord, we lift up Alice Tyler to you, Lord. And you know what she's going through. And we ask, Lord, that right now, even in this place, Lord, as you did many, many, many centuries ago, Lord, we ask that you would heal Alice from this terrible disease. And Lord, we believe that you'll do it. You said if we agree, you'll do it. So Lord, we ask right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch her head from the tip of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Would you please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
And as we depart from here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe. And let us join together here again next Sunday to receive the message that Pastor Ted will bring us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn, Precious Name? Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of it. Precious name. Temptations round.